Greeting to all the Devon Saints and all of those joining us online this morning. It's an honor to be asked to share some thoughts with you from the most important book that's ever been written, the Bible. We call it the Word of God. It's God's love letter to us. It's God's blueprint for life. Particularly exciting for me over the next 3 weeks is that I get to share from one of my favorite parts of the Bible, and that is the book of Hebrews. Pastor Gil and I go back a long ways, back in 1991. Gil joined us on staff in Sherwood Park, where I pastored for some 17 years, and for 12 years, Gil and I worked together. So pretty much everything I know, I learned from Pastor Gil. So if the message doesn't meet standard today, you blame him and not me, okay? But what a wonderful pastor you have, and he's somewhere in northern Ethiopia. I've been there. I know the situation a little bit about what he's facing in that particular area of the country. And just pray for him. Pray that God will keep him safe. And there's a lot of desperate need there. And just pray that he will be able to not only meet the humanitarian needs of individuals, but also the spiritual needs of people while he's there. Now, the book of Hebrews is a heavy book doctrinally. And so over the next 3 weeks, and I think Pastor Gil's going to carry on after he comes back, we're just going to scratch the surface. You really never can fully mine the gold that is contained in this incredible book of Hebrews, the book to the Hebrews. Pastor Gil has entitled this series, Greater. Now, I'm going to focus on one verse out of chapter 2 today, but let me read the first 10 verses of chapter 2, and I'm reading out of the New King James Version this morning. And this is what it says. It says, "Therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward," here's a little bit of the warning of the chapter, "how shall we escape if we neglect so great," the word great, "a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. The Son made lower than the angels, for he has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, 'What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands, and you have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him.'" This is a verse I want you to concentrate on this morning. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, may taste death for everyone." But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for everyone. Let's pray. Father, as we open your word this morning, would you speak to us? I'm so privileged this morning, so honored to be able to share about my best friend, my friend Jesus. He is greater in every way. And Father, open our eyes to see that this morning as we look for a few moments at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. But we see Jesus. Back in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, written by one of the disciples, Philip, who was another one of the disciples, said to Jesus one day, "Show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And Jesus replied to Philip, "Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If you've seen me, Jesus, you've seen Father God." And then Paul, the apostle, tells us in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, "In Jesus, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form." All the fullness of the Godhead was in Jesus and is in Jesus. So when we see Jesus, we see the observable, tangible picture of God. We have a revelation of the very nature of God when we see Jesus. We see into the very heart of the one who created us, the one who loves us, the one who longs to have a relationship with us. He is greater. We see Jesus. First of all, I want to just share a bit of a recap. I'm sure Pastor Gil talked about this before he left, but the first chapter, we see Jesus, and he's greater in his divinity. Jesus is God. The writer to Hebrews sets out in chapter 1 to establish the credentials, the divine credentials of Jesus. And so, first of all, he says in 1 verse 2 that Jesus is the designer and creator of all things. By Jesus, God also made the worlds. Again, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. Without him, without Jesus, was not anything made that was made. So he's the creator. If you go on to verse 10 in this chapter, you'll read these words. "In the beginning, you, Lord, laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands." And so Jesus is great in his divinity. He's the creator. But not more than that, he's also the sustainer. If you look at chapter 1, verse 3, you'll see that Jesus sustains all things by the word of his power. By his powerful word. The fact of the matter is that you're here breathing this morning is a gift of God through Jesus Christ. He sustains all things by the word of his power. Nothing exists without Jesus. And then in chapter 1, verse 6, it says that Jesus is worshipped even by the angels of heaven. And then in 1 verse 8, Jesus wears the crown of the kingdom of God. It says, "Your throne, O God," speaking to Jesus, "your throne, O God, is forever and ever." So Jesus is not a God among a plethora of gods. He's the one and only true God. He's a creator. He's a sustainer. He's worthy of all glory. He's the king above all kings. And while this is a great and wondrous and reassuring truth, I wonder if we can really comprehend this kind of majesty and power and authority. See, as much as I try, my mind can't stretch that far. And I can never pretend to understand the greatness of his divinity. It's beyond me. It's beyond us. Because we are not and we never will be divine in our nature. We are not now, nor shall we ever be gods. David in Psalm 139 says, "This knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too lofty for me to attain. It's just too much for the human mind to grasp." And as much as God wants us to recognize that Jesus is his son and that Jesus is God in every way, he wants us to connect with him at a level and in a way that we can actually understand, that we can identify with, that we can respond to. I thought maybe today I would try to illustrate this with the following two contrasting pictures which were triggered in my mind by the passing, the recent passing of Prince Philip, the husband and consort of Queen Elizabeth II. So in this first picture, we see Queen Elizabeth in all her royal regalia. She's seated on this elaborate throne. She's wearing a crown that signifies authority that is above the ordinary. And think what you may of dear Queen Elizabeth. She's 95 years of age. She's represented the office of the monarchical authority of Britain for well over 70 years. But you know what? The ordinary subject will never have tea at her house. You likely will not meet Queen Elizabeth in the grocery store. You won't have a conversation with Queen Elizabeth over your back fence. See, the ordinary subject, and apparently we're subjects as well, will never really know Queen Elizabeth by the fact that she represents this monarchical authority. You'll never know her in that way. So I put up a second picture. In this second picture, you see a very much different queen. If you carefully observe, and I don't know if you can see it from where you are, but if you carefully observe, you'll see a tear that's running down her cheek. Now, I can identify with that tear to a greater extent than I can identify with the tiara on her head. See, I don't rule over the British Commonwealth, but I do cry. See, Queen Elizabeth is a monarch, but she's also a human. She's also a person. She has heartache. She has sorrow. She has sadness. All the frailties of humanity are hers. That I can get. That I can understand. And that's my point of best connection with the Queen of the United Kingdom, the Commonwealth. Jesus is so much greater in his divinity, but my mind cannot stretch that far. And so today we come to this focus and this thought, that we see Jesus who is greater in his humanity. We see Jesus a little lower than the angels. We see Jesus in a wretched little barn, and she brought forth her firstborn son and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. We see a baby. We celebrated that not too long ago, didn't we? Greater in his humanity. Remember that I said that in him all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form. There in that baby, maybe 7 pounds of baby, all the fullness of God. I can identify with that. We see a suffering servant in Isaiah 53, where it says he was despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I have sorrows. I've known rejection. All of us probably in the room and those online have suffered in some way, loss of some sort. I can identify with that. Then we have this wonderful, wonderful passage of scripture in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, where it says this: Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of his servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. I can picture that. I can grasp that. This is what's called by theologians the kenosis theory, the emptying of himself of all of his rights as God the Son. And even though he had every right as God, because he came to show us the very heart and nature of the Father, he emptied himself of all his glory. He became subject to the instruction of the Father. He says, I don't do anything unless the Father tells me, unless the Father shows me. He became dependent on the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit to perform any supernatural act that he did when he was on earth. The Spirit came upon him at his baptism in the Jordan, and John the Baptist, John the Apostle says, we saw the Spirit descend on him and it remained on him. And then in Luke chapter 4, he says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. And so Jesus, who is God completely, now is subject to what the Father instructs and what the Holy Spirit anoints. And he did it voluntarily, and he did it willingly. He was made in the likeness of man. He took on the form of a servant. He didn't even come as a king. He accepted the completely undeserved status of a criminal. And in this greatest, most selfless act that the world has ever witnessed, Jesus became the greatest human leader who ever lived. If you look at verse 17 and 18, it says this, for this reason, he, Jesus, had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. And then Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:19 that God was in Christ reconciling, bringing the world back to himself. We see Jesus greater in his divinity, greater in his humanity. But we also see Jesus this morning who is greater in his humility. We see Jesus who tells us in his words and tells us by his actions that the way to the top is down. Anyone who wishes to be first needs to understand that the kingdom of God operates in diametric opposition to the kingdom of this world. The one who aspires to true greatness is the one who learns to be the servant of all. Those are the words of Jesus himself. And Jesus said of himself, I didn't come to be ministered to, but I came to minister and to give my life as a ransom for many. The great God of glory laid it all aside. And in John chapter 13, just before his death, Jesus, remember, who is the creator, who is a sustainer, whom angels worship, who wears the everlasting crown of heaven. Imagine that, this Jesus, this God that we're talking about, he takes a basin and he takes a towel and he washes the feet of his disciples. And he shows us that he's greater, not only in his divinity, not only in his humanity, but he's greater in his humility. He says, this is an example of greatness that I'm showing here, folks. And this is a lesson for us today. This is an example of greatness. He said, I want you to follow this example. If I, being your Lord and Master, if I, being the very God of heaven, have washed your feet, so you ought to wash one another's feet. Now, some have made a doctrine out of foot washing. That's not what Jesus is meaning here. Jesus is not promoting an act here. Jesus is promoting an attitude. The attitude that designates greatness in the kingdom through servanthood, through humility. Look at verse 10 again. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he should taste death for every man. There's no time separation in this verse. It's not that Jesus was divine and during that time he was crowned with glory and honor. No. as a human, as a suffering servant, as an innocent criminal hanging on a cross, he was crowned with glory and honor. The Roman soldiers had it right when they hung the sign over his head in three languages: Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. See, he never lost his crown. He never lost his glory. He just set it aside. He never lost his position as King of Kings. In fact, the greatness of our God was never displayed in any greater way than hanging on the cross on that awful day. The crown of thorns was in fact the crown of greatness. He never lost his rights. He never lost his power. He never lost his glory. He just set them aside so that he could show us the heart of the Father and how much Father God wants to have a relationship with us. Even when he hung on the cross, despised and rejected of men, feeling the weight of your sin and my sin on his back, sensing this abandonment by his Father, suffering alone in this undignified, humiliating fashion, he never lost his crown. He never lost his glory. He never lost his position. You see, God wanted us to understand his heart. God wanted us to understand his love. God wanted us to understand his mercy for us. He wanted us to know how far he was willing to go to redeem us back from the power of sin. And so in his grace, we see Jesus as a willing sacrifice on the cross. There's no lengths to which God would go to prove his, would not go to prove his love for us. And offer us a way to be restored back into relationship with him, back into the embrace of the one who loves us without measure. The greatest love ever publicly displayed was lifted up in humiliation by a mocking crowd on a cruel Roman cross. The Bible says he could have called a legion of angels to deliver him. But instead, Jesus was greater than that. Jesus was greater than that. He's greater in his divinity, greater in his humanity, greater in his humility. And let me finish by saying this. We see Jesus greater in his ministry. We just celebrated Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Back in that passage in Philippians chapter 2, Paul goes on to say, because Jesus came and demonstrated God's love all the way to the cross, he has been given a name that is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. There'll be no exceptions. And every tongue will confess. They'll do it either willingly or unwillingly, that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, to the glory of God the Father. 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus ascended back into heaven, returned to his former position. The work that he came to do had been accomplished. The record is written down in the Bible. It's there for any one of us to read. If we jump ahead in Hebrews to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says, wherefore he is able also to save to the uttermost those who come to God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for us. I read that verse. Whenever I read it, I read it out of the old King James Bible because I love that word uttermost. He is able to save to the uttermost, absolutely, completely, anyone that comes to God through him, because he ever lives to make intercession for us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, for in that he himself was suffered being tempted, he's able to, and there's an old word there as well in King James, succor or help or assist those that are being tested and tempted. This morning we see Jesus, greater than any other professing God, greater than any other king that has ever reigned, greater than any other human being who has ever breathed the air of earth, greater than my sin, greater than your sin, great enough to die in our place. Great enough to forgive our sin. Great enough to cleanse us from our sin. Greater than any temptation or test or suffering that I face or will ever face in life. Jesus is greater. If you've seen Jesus, you have seen God. And if you've asked Jesus to be your Savior and the Lord of your life, not only have you seen him, but the Bible says he dwells inside of you in the person and power of the Holy Spirit. Paul says in his letter to Colossians, chapter 1, verse 27, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Words are not eloquent enough to describe how great Jesus is. They're just not. They're not satisfactory. The Apostle John said in his gospel, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then in his little letter to the church in 1 John chapter 4, in verse 4, he says this. I love this verse. He says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in the world than COVID. Greater than he is he that is in the world than the rejection and suffering and temptation and testing that you face because of your humanity. Greater is he that is in you. Jesus in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me ask you a question this morning. You that are here and you online, have you put your trust in Jesus? He's greater. He's greater. Have you ever invited the one who created you, who sustains you, who loves you, who died for you, who was raised from death for you, who the Bible says ever lives to intercede, to be your advocate, your lawyer before God? Have you ever invited him to be the Lord of your life? If not, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Why would you run? Why would anyone run from such incredible love? There's an old song that we used to sing way back, and I was young once. These are the words. Come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in his word, he has shown us the way. And here in our midst, he's standing today, tenderly saying, come. God so much wanted us to know what his heart was like that he sent Jesus. Jesus, who is greater in his divinity, greater in his humanity, greater in his humility, greater in his ministry. Oh, what a wonderful friend. Oh, what amazing Savior. I plead with you, put your trust in him today. You'll never, ever be disappointed. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the way that your word so clearly depicts who Jesus is. God incarnate. All the fullness of God in Jesus. But all the experience of our humanity as well. So that he can be a good and faithful high priest on our behalf. Help us, Lord God, to love you more. To trust you more. To commit to serve and follow you more. Help us to make no delay. Lord, for those that may never yet have placed their trust and faith in Jesus, I pray today that this might be the day. Right there, and as you're listening online, you can simply pray, oh God, I don't want to run the show anymore. I want this Jesus who's greater to come into my life and take the reins, take the steering wheel and drive my life from this point forward. I'm going to place my trust and hope and confidence in this Jesus who demonstrated God's love for me. I pray these things in the name of Jesus, whose name is greater and above every other name. Gladly this morning, we confess that name. And gladly this morning, we bow before you, Lord Jesus, and confess that you are Lord to the glory of God the Father, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Thank you so much for your attention this morning. The book of Hebrews is a marvelous book. Maybe you can take some time over the next week and just read ahead. Next week, Lord willing, we'll be looking into chapter 3. And like I said when I started, we can only scratch the surface. There's so much gold there to be mined. Why don't you take some time and do some mining yourself this coming week? God bless you all. It's been wonderful to be here this morning.